that dick in my ass.
Legit Fat Podcast.
I like China.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to retards.
Welcome to Costco. I love you.
Well, hello there. Welcome back to Legit Bat. I'm Joe. Jen is with me.
Yes.
Oh.
wrong button. No, that was the right button. We are joined tonight by Shane Sidor, but before we get into it, thanks to Fox and Sons Coffee, Steve over there hooked us up with some of his coffee and new sponsor of the show. So if you want to check that out, foxandsons.com, and the promo code is, guess what?
Boner.
Yes. Promo code is boner. And it gets you a discount. So if you want to check out some of the best coffee I've ever tried, and I'm not a connoisseur, Ben is not here, of course, but he is the connoisseur. He tried it. He loves it too. So trust his word on it, not mine. But you can always tell the difference between good coffee and terrible coffee. My work, we have that awful mass-produced Folgers shit, and it just tastes like
hot, you have corporate coffee.
Hot bean water. Yeah, it's terrible. So if you want to get some better shit, check them out. But thanks, Steve, over there for that. I appreciate it. But yes, our guest tonight, Shane Sidor, and why don't you give us a quick little intro on yourself? Thanks to PK and our Telegram for recommending you. I was listening to your talk with Danny Katz, I believe is her name, over at Word Up, and a lot of interesting stuff. It's going to go really well with, you know, what we talk about on the show. So give us your little bio on yourself.
Well, I'm an accidental whistleblower. Let's put it that way. 2015, I was writing a blog for a small group of people that I knew that were getting out of the same thing I was, which the alternative community calls the Illuminati. This is not what we had called ourselves, but it's the best name because it's the same concept, same idea that most people have is correct. So anyways, writing the blog and kind of overnight it went from 20 max viewers to thousands because at the time someone was talking about blue avians and I did a blog that was titled Avians. And so I guess in the little search connection, next thing I knew, David Icke had reposted it. Project Camelot was doing the same, various places like that. So yeah, I finished writing the blog, kind of changed it from that point because the people, my exact audience has a different way of looking at all these things, but I had to make it so that when the alternative community was reading it, they weren't freaking out. So finished the blog and then did some interviews. That was 10 years ago, I guess now. And since, just kind of been doing what I do, which is usually a lot of talking conspiracy theorists down off of cliffs is the way that I like to say it. Cause
good. Guys, we need more of those.
it's a very made up community. In a lot of ways. And I know that firsthand because I used to be one of those people who would help reinforce the made up qualities of it before I ever wrote that blog. And, going all the way back to being like 13 years old, going to conferences before the internet was even where these things were all happening. So,
He's an OG, basically, people. He's an OG. So I know you can see through a lot of the bullshit, like you said, talking conspiracy theorists off a cliff. Ironically, I've been seeing that happen a lot more lately with people we're surrounding ourselves with. I don't know if you're familiar with Ryan Gable over at The Secret Teachings, but he's got a real level head on his shoulders about this kind of stuff. And I really appreciate it. It's a breath of fresh air to hear somebody actually come at it from a more balanced perspective instead of going out there yelling into a mic about blue avians and shit like that.
Well, yeah, and I kind of came into the consciousness at the same time, and I think everyone kind of lumped me into a very similar boat. And so what happened is most people thought that I believed in a lot of the same stuff that they did until, time had passed and I was saying, I don't think that what you think this is what it is. And then a lot of people just kind of started hating on me, which is good. And
so you're a shill, obviously, a shill and a fed and a plant. Okay, good, good, good.
when I started saying things like, you know, people aren't really being shot out in outer space, being brought down back at age regressed, you know, 20 years and stuff like that. That's not what's happening. That there are technologies that we're starting to see now that have to do with putting simulations into people's heads and letting them live out lifetime that was tested in a lot of programs. But that is not within their, let's say, purview, but definitely not within their capability.
Yeah, that's one of the ones I actually started having a problem with is these little old ladies that come on and talk about how they were selected for the 20 and back program. And if the listeners aren't familiar with that, it's a fun time, sci-fi wise.
It'd be a great movie.
Yeah, it'd be awesome, like episode of Black Mirror or something like that. But every time I hear somebody talking about those stories, I'm like, you don't sound like the type of person that would be selected for this. I could be wrong, but you don't seem to have the mental capacity to even do that. And somehow, they mind erased you so that you couldn't remember any of it, but you remember that you went to Mars for 20 years. You just don't remember exactly what happened. Okay, well,
and remember what I'm doing on a nightly basis as I'm out there fighting, because it's still going on. Don't you know? That's what they talk about all the time. That's the part that is the most ridiculous. It's like, taking you out of your bed while you're sleeping, sending you out to fight space battles, and then putting you right back in that body to talk about it in your mom's basement and you know, on YouTube. That's not what's happening. But yeah. That's kind of what I was up against. And yeah, I came out at the same time as Corey. Corey and I knew each other. I had been talking to David Wilcock for some time up to that. That whole cosmic disclosure show that they did, David wanted me to be that, but it was a produced television show and it was just going to be a bunch of bullshit. And I said no. And next thing I know, the Sphere Being Alliance and the Blue Avians existed and so on. And that all just kind of happened overnight. And so if I was a whistleblower, I was whistleblowing on that, you know, I was there behind the scenes while they were coming up with that whole crazy story. And
I think they call it intellectual property now after the court case. So
yeah, I guess we got to be careful, right? But
no, but I know. Yeah. We had I think you run in the same circles as us, Ryder Lee and Chris Matthew and all those guys. We're actually on the Forbidden Knowledge Network. I always forget to mention that, but we did a whole show with Ryder actually about Corey Good and David Wilcock and that whole thing. And it sucks because the people that want to believe it, that's fine. But when it comes out that he literally admits, yeah, I just kind of made it up, it throws everybody else who talks about crazy stuff into the same camp, and then everybody just dismisses anything else you have to say. Yeah. And there's always a fine line in between here, people. There's crazy shit, and then there's shit that is verifiably true that's happening. So, and it's up to you to figure that out. I do love talking about the crazy stuff, but it doesn't mean I believe all of it or that it's real. Again, yeah. Sci-fi.
That's part of looking for the truth, I guess, which isn't necessarily even what we're doing, but listening to different perspectives. I think it's hard for some people to not get caught up in that. They get wrapped up in it. It makes them comfortable or happy or whatever it is. And they think, oh, I can believe in this. I can get behind this. And then they can't undo that feeling once something clashes with that. So like you were saying, people come out and they start hating on you because they can't unbelieve what they have already, you know, decided is the truth.
Well, it's chasing the conspiracy dragon. And like you said, they can't undecide it. It's the same problem that people have when they have the cognitive dissonance of, you know, COVID or anything else, where they want to believe this one thing, so they can't open their mind. The weirdest part is that this community is supposed to be the open-minded, you know, free-thinking group, but if something clashes with it, instead of taking that new piece of information and saying, oh, wow, I should probably change my angle on this because that's pretty important. Like, no, got to stick to this.
Well, COVID pissed a lot of people off. And I think a lot of people opened their eyes during COVID and said, oh, you know, the government is lying to us. And some people took that a lot farther than others. We jumped in and were like, hey, that's definitely been happening. Let's listen to a bunch of people talk about various topics and see what they have to say, because I bet it's not what the mainstream media is telling us. But some people, you know, went, you know, balls deep into one category and just wouldn't stop. No matter what was, you know, deterring them or could have deterred them from going down one crazy rabbit hole, they were like, nope, I'm going head first.
Well, yeah, and it's up to everybody individually to separate the wheat from the chaff, especially since I think the system at large has kind of taken advantage of the fact that there's crazy things out there that are going into the mainstream, and now they're making up their own shit, in an effort, in my opinion, to discredit all the things that are actually happening. Like I said, you get thrown in the same camp. So by flooding the whole information stream with all this absolute nonsense, people latch onto it, and then everybody else who might have had a chance to kind of wake up a little bit to what's going on, just, oh, nope, see, I knew it was just crazy conspiracy theorists. I fucking knew it. There's a lot of different ways we could go today. PK, again, in the Telegram was telling me.
Because that's right what you're talking about is what I've been talking about for 10 years now, that was all being set up to happen, that long before this even hit the internet, they were already planning for it to hit the internet and to create exactly the environment where 2020 would happen, whatever that was. And when people came to the conspiracy world, they also had to, you know, kind of shift or sift through all of that. And a lot of people end up running all the way back the other way. And if you're trying to tell someone something that is true, but you also believe those things are a part of that community, then yeah, you get lumped in with it. And it's just like any of the other terms, like an anti-V, right? And
yeah.
Things like that. And I've been warning long before I ever wrote that blog, even I was warning researchers about it prior to that. I warned about QAnon. And how that would come around, and how that would be another one of those things to turn conspiracy theories into domestic terrorists.
Project Truth 2.0.
And yeah, like the takeaway from my blog, everyone wanted the aliens, everyone wanted the giants, everybody wanted the fanciful stuff. But the takeaway was that what we know about the Illuminati is old news, and that's why we know it. And what they're doing is rebranding with technology that makes it so that all of those rabbit holes you're going to be chasing them down, you're not going to find them there, because they've already kind of rebranded, moved forward. They've got like new names for everything. A lot of the people that were involved with what they used to do are obsolete, are no longer used, and that whole system was being replaced by something new during the time I was even writing the blog. And during the last 10 years, that has all come to play. We've seen it all coming out in the public, all the technology I was talking about back then, and even the, you know, the topic of disclosure and what we would continue to get from that. And this is why I was trying to also help the alternative community once they discovered who I was. But very quickly I recognized, because I got to know the people behind the scenes, right? The people doing the interviews on the big channels, and I got to hear the way that they were playing D&D in the background and then selling that as truth to an audience. And so I went, okay, I'll see ya. And I just kind of walked away for a long time. Ended up coming back, and I still have this hopium that maybe we can wake people up. But at this point in time, we can't. It's like, we've woken up and gone back to sleep in a new dream. And now I think if we're going to wake people up, it's waking people back out of the alternative community a little bit so that we can get back on board with the rest of the humans on planet Earth, you know?
Yeah. But, and nothing wrong with D&D. Nothing wrong with, you know, having a little, you know, side thing where you escape reality for a bit. People do it in different ways. But when you're, I guess the biggest problem is when you're out there saying that, I've said this a bajillion times, I cannot fucking stand the term truther. I'm a truther. Ugh, stop it. Don't tell me that you're that, because then you go and talk about, you know, the whatever's under the pyramids. Like, that's the newest one right now. And I don't know your thoughts, and I can have a pretty good guess, but yeah, you could tell anybody. I mean, there's AI videos going around that people were reposting in this community. It was a very obvious AI video, and they were like, oh my God, look, somebody went down there. First of all, nobody's going down there anytime soon, if ever. There's no way Hawass is going to let anybody do that, if he has any pull still. But what do you think about that newest thing, the whole under the pyramid thing?
Well, it's another example of how we need to wait and stop jumping on the hot take immediately. And that's what everyone's doing with this. Once again, is
clicks and views, bro. Clicks and views.
Exactly. Like the drones thing, anything that comes along these days, ever since 2020, anything that comes along, everybody talks about it. And it's funny, because if I ever like say anything negative about anything that's being talked about, everybody assumes I'm talking about them at this point, because so many people are talking about the same things. And I'm just like, I'm talking about this thing, not to anything in anyone in particular, but yeah, that's what has happened. I've known it was happening. I was trying to warn people that it was going to happen, and now we're here, and the only real solution to it is just to do better, right? And to, you know, really kind of wait on a lot of this stuff, because we're not going to have all of the information. Like, to answer the direct question, that's one person's scam, And the scan doesn't really tell us much that's concrete at all. If you just look at the scan, I have some questions about it. Like, I haven't done it yet, but I kind of want to cut it in half and flip it upside down to see if we're not just seeing an echo of what is on the top just randomly. But that's how obscure what we're looking at actually is. And then we have these artistic renditions of what people hope and think that it's going to look like, that everyone is assuming it looks like that. And that's where the problem comes in.
And it puts that in their mind, and then they take it and run. We just talked to Chris Matthew about this the other day, like this exact thing.
Forget. And a year later, when the truth comes out, they'll forget about it, and they won't hear that truth, right? Whatever it is, if it's not what they wanted to believe and it doesn't affirm what they've decided now, then they're never going to even hear about it because they will discard it. Right. And then all the noise, and then they'll keep running, and then, you know, 5 years from now we'll see someone repeating, oh, you remember when they found those tunnels underneath the pillars underneath the, nobody's dug them up yet. It's like the Norway spiral. How many times do I have to explain to people what happened there? But it happens every year on like around winter time.
So what is that, real quick, not to get into an aside here, but I we talked about that too, about how there's several pictures of it from like over the decades, and you know, this year it was SpaceX fuel dump or whatever the fuck they call it. Like, what is that? Is it a portal? Tell me.
It's a spinning out rocket in an upper atmosphere where it's very cold. Right. And so it looks like that from there. It's kind of like the way that the northern lights present in the northern hemisphere. Right. And the one with the Norway one, it was funny because I have a little bit of a fascination with rockets. That particular night, I was watching the rocket, the Russian rocket launch. They were testing what is now their new hypersonic rockets. We know about them now. They're disclosed. But at the time, it was a new top secret experimental rocket that they were trying out. And so I'm watching this rocket Russian feed. They shoot the rocket up. It starts spinning and doing its thing. And you're watching it from like their perspective, right? Like the ground going up. And then it makes this big blue spiral in the sky. I don't think too much of it until a little while later. I'm on an internet forum and someone's posting about a portal opening up in Norway. And I was just like, wait, what? And then, you know, our good friend David Wilcock is on Coast to Coast a few hours later talking about this portal in Norway. And people just ran with it, even though like the video I'm talking about ended up coming out and doing the, nobody bothered to watch it because they wanted to believe it was a giant alien portal in the sky. But yeah, and I see people report it all the time as if, you know, that's what it was confirmed to be, which is ridiculous too. That's how far Trueville that social media has become. But yeah, the most recent one, same thing. People don't understand how often they shoot rockets. We think that we hear about all of them, but there was like hundreds of them last year. There's going to be hundreds more than that this year. And they've added on every year after year. We see the finished products when they do something really well. We see those sometimes, but even that's like one out of 100 that they've done. And, you know, one out of, you know, another 100 that they've decided to not show us because it didn't work so well, you know.
And yeah, that's, or it's in a black budget project, or like, who knows?
Or whatever we saw. We saw something over our house, but we're open-minded people, so we weren't like, oh my God, it's an alien spaceship. But we saw some, it had to be some sort of military cloaking technology. It was a triangle. It looked like the, God, what's it even called? T3, whatever.
TR-3B.
Yeah, there you go.
Kind of, but it was more of like a perfect triangle.
It was a perfect triangle. It had like a glowing kind of green outside, like,
you've seen the outline of it? Because the Chinese have made basically like recreated those, but made them drone size. So they're like this, and they can go together. So they start like clicking together to make an even bigger version of themselves. And so they can travel as one big one and then let go into a bunch of smaller triangles and fly from there.
And so, that's what it looked like. It looked like cloaked, but then as it went across the sky, it kind of looked like a satellite sort of, or like a constellation that was moving super fast across the sky, but it looked really close. So it could have been drones, but we weren't for a second like, oh God, aliens are over our house. We were like, I think, because we live in a kind of rural area, and where that was flying was over like in a mountainy area where there were not a lot of people. So I was like, they absolutely could have tested it right there. And I'm sure not many people would have seen it.
Well, and we're about an hour south of Mount Shasta. There's a lot of weird.
Also it was on 4th of July, so it could be dismissed easily, which I don't believe aliens know about the American culture and what we do on 4th of July. But you know who does is this fucking country and the whole world. So something would test on that night and then say, because if people said, I saw lights in the sky, it would be very easily dismissed. So that was my conclusion, but I don't even know. It could have been aliens. It could have been the blue avians for all I fucking know.
Well, the portal thing, to see the reaction in social media is just awful. And who knows how much of it is actual people and who, you know, which ones are agents or which ones are just bots or just people being retarded. There's that too. But to see the reaction to the newest spiral picture and people genuinely, as far as I could tell, underneath the comments being like, we are ascending into 5D, the Christ consciousness is coming back, wake up sheeple. It's like, oh god.
So you mentioned earlier you were part of a group that was helping create these kind of fake stories to distract people.
Yeah, I mean, I was definitely aware of them. I've done it in different lights. Like, I was part of a program where if someone was claiming an alien abduction, we would go talk to them and basically through a variety of techniques convince them that they were indeed abducted by aliens. And that was because they were part of a military program where the military had abducted them. And it's much better for the military if they believe that it was aliens than it is for the military. And various examples of that, where different organizations had done different testing on people for various reasons, can't even just be corporations. And that's why I call the Illuminati Umbrella Corp now, because it's essentially not the families that they let you guys all know about. It's these corporations that have all, you know, decided that they're going to run the world through AI together. But anywho, a variety of different groups would employ us to do exactly that. Same thing with like hauntings and possessions and other types of paranormal things I've worked with, where, you know, my job was to convince them of whatever the official story was supposed to be. And so I would basically just play on what they wanted to believe and convince them that that was absolutely true and feed them, you know, be that, affirmation for them. Like
those Men in Black?
I was just going to say, how did you dress? What was your demeanor? How did you approach it? Were you like kind of weird? Oh, so you just acted like a normal dude, because we hear these stories about people who, you know, have abductions and then they have someone very strange come to the house the next day who has like super pale skin and is dressed in all black or dressed
in open a door.
Clothes that, you know, don't really fit them and they behave very strangely and ask weird questions. Was that part of this or is that just some other...
Sometimes, you know, it would depend on what they were covering up and why. A lot of the time I was used, it was with like families because I was still younger and, you know, it made them feel comfortable with me because I was so young, but because I had all of the answers, like, you know, I was working with the authorities, right? So I was the person who perceivably had all the answers. They would still trust me. And so, obviously I wouldn't have been called to every different situation because that's just not the way it would work, but same difference in just about every category. So yeah, I mean, a lot of the time the Men in Black scenario is just meant to scare the person so badly that they hopefully don't say anything, and if they do, they exaggerate it or throw that story into it which makes it sound crazy, right?
Like, right. Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it's kind of all so repetitive also makes it sound a little bit crazy. Right. And so before I do any more naysaying on stuff, I just want people to believe, like, I absolutely believe in aliens. There are things all over this planet that I know exist that would blow most people's minds. But a lot of the stories within the alternative community are still very incorrect, even though all of those things may be true. So, just putting that out there so you don't think I'm just some boss.
Well, no. And a lot of the Yeah, no, a lot of the alternative media type shit is based on anecdotes, which is the exact same thing as the mainstream narrative, which is built on, you know, scientific theories, built on theories and theories and theories. This is kind of the same on the other side, though, where we're going off of decades of stories of these different things, aliens or whatever, and building a whole universe based on those ideas, and it could be totally wrong at its core. So
it is.
I'm sorry, yeah. did I cut you off?
No.
And that's what I mean. Like, you're exactly right, and it is wrong that they've been doing this. Like I said, the first time I was taken to one and had this explained to me, I was only 13. That was in 1994. So, you know, like even back then they were like, you know, these people are all pretty much owned by us because we've fed them all of the lore that they are regurgitating. They started doing it back in like the 20s and 30s when, secret society started spreading out all over North America. And that started a lot of rumors. So they would, let's say, drive these rumors through a telephone game and use that to their advantage, knowing all along that eventually, because they knew that the digital age would take all of their privacy away. Right. Like they wouldn't be able to hide things the way that they've always hidden things. And so they knew that they needed to change the way they did everything along with that. So one of the, you know, brilliant parts, in my opinion, part of their plan was to tell the general public stuff that they've done over the last at least 2000 years ish. Let's put it that way. And, you know, put it in such a thing where it's like the Bill Murray joke of they'll never believe you, and just leave it like that, because they knew we would do exactly what we did with it. Riderly kind of gave me the inspiration for calling it a conspiracy snowball, because he had the conspiracy burrito thing for this secret space program. It's kind of like a conspiracy burrito, right? The conspiracy snowball is like we started rolling this snowball around, not knowing that what was in the middle of that was not snow. It was just bullshit. It was like this giant wad of bullshit. And so someone took that bullshit and rolled it around in the snow and then handed it to someone and said, hey, look. And someone who had never seen snow before was like, oh my goodness, look at that snowball. And so he went looking for snow to roll that around, and he found some, because there was snow scattered around. But there's also gravel that he had to roll through, and dirt that he had to roll through, and grass that he had to roll through. And that just all keeps
more shit.
And more shit, right? And then eventually the internet came along and took that giant snowball and was like, oh, look at what we got. Well, guess what? I got my own one of these. And because I can go on YouTube and tell everyone I got my own one of these, I can have my own one of these. And that's what has happened. And it just went out of control. And, you know, with how blindly people believed me right off the bat, I had this really solid plan in mind at one point in time to go full Andy Kaufman on it and just be like, guys, I made everything up. Not one word of that is true. You're all fucking nuts. And look at how crazy you are for believing me. Like, you guys all think that I'm some old man smoking a pipe in a basement somewhere. And I was at the time like 35. I'm a 35-year-old guy who works a regular job and you know, has a regular life. Anyways, yeah, it's, you're right. And exactly that is what has happened. And unfortunately, you know, 2020 did bring a lot more people into this community, if you will. And a lot of those people are genuinely looking for the truth. But there's so many strip clubs around, and everyone's getting lost in these strip clubs.
Yeah, it's information overload. It went from the early days of the internet where you're like, and it, like I think Tripoli always says, it was like the Wild West in the late 90s, where it was you could share anything. And for the most part back then, it felt like, it at least felt like, you could trust some information. And that went downhill really fast, because then everyone started realizing, especially with YouTube and social media, that literally any retard on the planet with a phone or a computer at the time could get on there and say whatever they wanted to on those shitty HTML forums. Like, you could do whatever you want, and people just would latch onto it and run.
Well, I feel like a lot in 2020, I feel like a lot of people who were doing that, and don't get me wrong, it was still fun. It's fun to entertain it all. It's fun to talk to people about different things. But I feel like during that time, we started our show around then too, and everyone started a show, and then they started shutting certain shows down, or, you know, they'd block somebody or they'd take them down, and that became like a badge of honor. And then it became people, you know, people in the community were like, oh my gosh, they're taking people down. They don't want them talking about this stuff.
So it must
and
be
I remember
true.
Thinking like, ooh, that's such a slippery slope. I feel like if we start all believing that they're shutting certain people down, but they're letting our little show out there, then we're going to feel fucking special. And we're going to feel like what we're saying is okay, or that we're peddling some sort of truth, when really I think they're just doing it to confuse people and to make people feel like we're just being missed or something. And I think that when certain shows were shadow banned or shut down, it was for everyone in this community to be like, ooh, look what they did, because we noticed it.
Yeah. No.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Yeah, no, they started noticing that we were noticing stuff, and they were like, oh, we can weaponize this real easy.
It Watch seemed a this. Lot more like a mind game, that some bigger entity was you know, playing with us.
And it's so hard not to get into the, like Joe on OBDM always says, like, oh, everything's fake and gay, it's all fake and gay, well, it's all a psyop. And a lot of it fucking is, but like trying to figure out which is and which isn't is the problem.
That's
but,
what happened. It's a lot of, there's a huge spider web now where the truth is definitely out there. It's like what you were saying with social media and with the internet and with the ease of access to information, they can't really hide what they're doing. But if there's a bunch of bullshit in the way, it's just going to pass through. You know, it could just, people can just pass it over and be like, oh, whatever, that's boring, or I've read that before, or whatever. You know, it's going to be much harder to get to the bottom of it.
Politics aside, like the divide and conquer is way easier now, too. They can divide the so-called truth community a million different ways on a million different topics. You've seen it. I mean, I know you've seen it, but any little like topic, like if somebody disagrees on one thing, oh, they're automatically a paid Fed or a show or information agent. I'm like, no, I think what the real thing that's going on here is that they know that we're easy to divide, and the infighting in this community is so insane right now. I try to stay completely out of it. Oh, did you hear this certain guy? He didn't respond to me, so he must be a Fed. You know, just the stupidest shit I've ever heard.
I feel like that's taking a backseat right now. I think that was a couple years ago.
No, it's
like
still happening.
Oh, okay.
I've seen it recently. But yeah, so it's super easy to divide people. Even the people that say they notice the divide and conquer tactics are falling prey to that and infighting with people. And it's hard because it's all over the internet. So, I mean, it's most of these people know each other through the internet. So it's real easy to just be that keyboard warrior and be like, obvious Fed, obvious shill, paid op, distraction, all these different things. And it's like, this isn't helping anybody, okay?
So what you're saying, though, is they knew this would happen, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I used to argue with them, to be honest. I didn't believe that. I don't know how to say this, that it's sounding nice. I didn't believe we would do this with this information. Let's put it, that's the nicest way to put it. I thought that we would do, in the beginning, we were doing pretty well. I think you said something to that similar to that earlier too. In the beginning, the community wasn't doing too bad. And that was because they had a lot of good researchers coming in from the old version of it, when it was just in conferences and things like that before the internet. And the way I have an analogy for that, like there's a room and they just put a bunch of dirt in it, and a bunch of researchers came up and made some good piles of dirt, right? But then it hit the internet and everyone just kind of started wandering around in this room and started knocking over the piles, and then deciding that they also wanted to throw their own dirt in the pile because that sounds like a childhood dream I had, you know, or something like that, right? And the unfortunate reality is that there's reasons why a lot of people have childhood dreams that are like that, that aren't necessarily the story that they're being sold at the same time. But you know, I grew up in their world, so I understand the dangling carrot better than most people. It being special, having secrets, knowing mysteries, knowing those things that other people don't have is a hell of a drug. It's one of the best drugs. You know, it was a really hard drug for me to give up. So I know it was a very good drug to know that you know more about the world that everyone else is wandering around in, where you kind of like, you believe you are Neo like that. And anyone who has that feeling in this community can give anyone that feeling, right? Anyone who has that feeling can get really addicted to it. Next thing you know, it's your identity. And the other thing is there's this cult-like nature to the alternative community where it's like everyone starts losing their real friends and their real families and, you know, real people in their life, because now their family is these people and everyone else is a sheeple or an NPC or whatever that is, right? And so they end up isolating themselves from real life, which just leaves them in that echo chamber, and it all just amplifies for them personally to the point where they forget there was ever a world outside of it, and they go right back to sleep in that new dream. And that was all by design, but you know, like Al Pacino says in Devil's Advocate, they just set the stage. We have to pull our own strings. So, you know, the social engineers do what they're going to do, but at the end of the day, we make choices. And it's just an unfortunate reality that so many people went on the, you know, I wasn't popular in high school, so this can make me popular, you know, track, and then started making up nonsense that other people then believed, which allowed that to perpetuate for the next new person who came along and wanted to make up a cool space adventure story.
Corey Good.
You know, well, yeah, Corey Good's older now. There's a whole community of new people who have just like, he's a shill, but all of our stories are real, right? This is the same thing. Like, you know, back in the day, say someone said that about me, like, you just read my blog outright. It's like, yeah, that whistleblower is a liar. They're all liars, but believe me, you know what I mean?
Trust me, bro.
Exactly. Yeah. Just trust me, bro. You know, but yeah. And I totally got that even at the time. And I laughed at that joke because that is true. Like, that is what everybody is doing. And now at this point, that's why I don't know if you've seen my Fear and Hopium podcasts yet, but I started a comedy podcast, which is Comedy and Parody, where I just play the whistleblower everybody wanted me to be. My crowning achievement so far is that Donald Marshall commented on it as if it were real. And, you know, I'm making fun of everything. I'm making fun of the stuff that was in my blog. I'm making fun of everything we kind of believe in equally, to just kind of show that there's a lot of absurdity that we throw around. But I also want people to understand that the Illuminati ideology is heavily embedded in our community. Things like ascension and all the ways that we other each other and the infighting that you're talking about is because of those ideologies playing out in the real world with people.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they know behavior patterns. It's like a statistics game. They know exactly what a bunch of people will do. And I think they can assume that a certain number of people, or a certain percentage of people, I guess, will behave a certain way. Others won't, whatever. They're outliers. Who cares about them? They won't matter. So, yeah, I don't know. I think there's a template that's been played across all of us. Every generation gets that same kind of, and maybe they have to adjust here and there for different technological advances and the way that society changes, but they can determine how people are going to respond to certain situations, and they're like 10 steps ahead of us, maybe even more.
Well, and you're going from the equivalent of these social engineers using an abacus to now having Grok and ChatGPT and data, you know, analytics, and just, I mean, we've been having our data harvested for decades at this point, if not longer. So, sorry about that. But so when you go from, like you said, adjusting for technology, and they're going from a calculator in the 60s or whatever to whatever they have now.
It doesn't really matter. I think they think people are going to respond like this to this. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. The general idea. Yeah. I just meant like the predictive algorithms now that can more accurately be like, oh, if you make this one thing go viral, this is going to happen in a certain percentage of the crowd, and this is going to be the response. It's the old Hegelian dialectic, but on a massive technological, you know, advantage.
So is it just because the military is experimenting on people? What is the big agenda here? Like, what's the real hidden agenda, if you're allowed to even talk about that? I don't know.
Speculate to hell if you want.
It's beyond the military. Like, the military is a couple rungs down what the pyramid of the concept of the Illuminati is, right? And so just like, again, using the word the Illuminati, because that's what everyone on the internet says, it's a hidden hand, like an umbrella that has all of the cults, all of the corporations, all of the banks, all of the, when I say cults, I mean the different religions, the different actual cults, different ideologies all over the place, things like psychology and everything.
Scientism in general,
everything science related. All of that is just kind of under umbrella. And so, you know, they have members in all of these different groups, but they're still kind of connected above the top of them, so monitoring them. And the technology that we're seeing coming out now, they were playing with back when I was a kid. So during the 90s is when I was seeing most of this, like, even more advanced technology than we've seen so far in terms of AI and AI's ability to read and write the human mind. And baby steps, I called it what they called it, the path of discoveries, which everyone wanted disclosure. You're never going to get a disclosure, but we are getting this path of discoveries where they're very slowly showing us different components of this technology that they have that can put us into a metaverse, like a very believable matrix-like metaverse. And all of the components for that are out right now, but they're all in pieces, right? If you brought it all together and put it into one system, then they really are, you know, at that place. Like I did the one podcast with Ryder about that Cognify system that they're doing concept programming for now, which was like in that context, they were going to use it on people in prison to let them do a 20-year sentence in a weekend.
Oh, wow. That's very Black Mirror.
Dude, that's funny. I just mentioned a couple shows ago that it seems like we're in the prequel to The Matrix. Like once they're in The Matrix, they don't know how it happened. They just know that they scorched the sky and that the machines built the Matrix. Like, it seems like we're in the generation right before that, where that's being built. Like, the Matrix is being built right now.
So how can they do that? I'm curious, because that seems a lot like what people talk about when they just go to other dimensions, or when they're in a dream and it feels like a lifetime, or when someone's in a coma, or and like legitimate stories of people taking DMT and, you know, living 30 years in another state with another person. So you're saying that that technology to do that is here right now?
Yeah. So the way I break it down is they have programs, projects, and cults. The cults are self-explanatory. The programs were testing humans in underground settings. I'm not saying all in, they're not really literally all in dumps or anything like that, but in what you would call an underground setting. So off the books, testing human potential to turn it all into technology, basically because we are magical multi-dimensional creatures and have a lot of properties, like, you know, gets exposed sometime with CIA documents and things like that, that when taught and nurtured are, you know, pretty remarkable, right? And that's been a lot of their game, is just to make sure that we don't know that so that they can know that and use it to their advantage. But with the, you know, population getting too big, and then eventually, you know, technology taking over the way that it has, they wouldn't have that advantage. So what the programs that I lived through were all for was to learn everything that they could about us so that they could build technology out of it. Technology that mimicked telepathy, technology that mimicked telekinesis, technology that mimicked your dreams, your memories, all of those different things. So one of the reasons why I knew right away the 20 and back program was kind of funny is because some of the simulations that they tested on me were kind of exactly that, where you would think that you lived out many years, but it's only been a few hours. And that whole little alternate lifetime that you lived wasn't real. It happened within a simulation that did have some guardrails. You just didn't notice it. And the reason why I kept getting reused is because I was really good, first of all, at noticing that I was in something that wasn't real. Because a lot of the time they would drug you first in the transition, you would just kind of think that you went into a dream state that is hyper real. And you're supposed to wake up from that, maybe even believing that it's real. But that wasn't working with me, let's put it that way. But I liked doing it and I wouldn't object to it. So they would keep letting me do it. I became kind of like a play tester for these simulations as they were developing them. But even by the time I left them, you know, they could put you in a state where, and this is where the world is going, you know, you'll live in the pods, you'll eat the bugs type tie over into it, is something like Ready Player One, where more people are just happy to live in the metaverse, you know, just to use the one that everyone knows about, the Matrix, if you will, than actually living real life. And they're already programming us with the predictive programming. Like, I haven't watched the show, but I think Severance is based on the concept that you have like a real life and a work life. Yes. Like, things
great
like that.
Show.
It's a really good show. It's a fun show to watch.
Yeah, there's been a lot of that kind of thing that's come out, and that's why, because that's what they're leading us towards is, you know, it's not going to be as dramatic as living in the pods and eating the bugs, but you are going to be in a very small home, very small condo, like they're, you know, conditioning us for that already too, right? Very small condo like room with everything done for you. And all you need to do in your life that you enjoy will probably be more in a box than out there in the real world. And they're doing that in a variety of different ways, like all of the problems with airplanes, all of the problems with fires, all of the problems with weather, all of the problems that, you know, they probably have a very big giant hand in creating, but they're problems nonetheless, that the solutions of all of this technology that they just discovered is going to solve, right? And so that's the way that it's happening right now. And that's why they called it the path of discovery, because we're hearing, you know, so-and-so discovered how to do this and so-and-so discovered how to do that. And so, but when you put that all together, we already have that world. And it's just a matter of how quickly they start rolling it out to us. And they need a kind of, you know, the big world is reset, but a kind of restructuring of society in order to make any of that possible. And that's the point in time we're living through right now. It's a lot of why the political theater is doing what it's doing right now, is because it sets us up for, you know, the thing that this community has been talking about all along, a new world order. But their game is to always do the thing like in the pods with the bugs, but it's not really that bad in reality, right? New world order sounds a certain way.
What, or a golden age, as Trump says,
or a golden age, right? Or something like that. And that's it. And as long as it's not the new world order where we have like a one government with a one religion and one, as long as it's not that, no one's going to notice that we're in it.
Right.
And that's the way that they set this up.
Well, and like you were talking about, like basically everything you want to do is right there in this box, and everything else, like your basic needs, like somebody comes around and changes your poop bag and your pee bag. You don't even have to do that anymore.
But which, to what end? Why would they want that? I do want to say really quick too, but I'm going to get back to that. But so in Severance, one of the, God, I'm going to spoil it. So skip or pause if you, you know, watch that show and haven't finished it. The second season has already wrapped up, and I think it finished in March, and we've already watched it. So if you haven't, fucking pause and fast forward. Anyway, what they're doing to this guy, the main character, is something that sounds like you just said that they were doing to you. So you said they liked to use you because you remembered your real life, and you realized that you were in this, you know, dream world. So what they're doing to Mark Scout, the main character, is like an Illuminati group that is brand new to season two. Sorry, people, if you're still listening, my bad. But they keep saying, is the threshold breaking or is the wall broken? And what they're doing is, so he doesn't remember who he is when he's down in his innie, is what they call it. The innie is the work person. The outie is the, you know, person who lives their life in the outside world. His wife is down being tested on, but he thinks she died in a car accident in real life. But as an innie, she's like a psychologist down there, and he doesn't recognize who she is. And they do this testing with her, and then he kind of snaps out of it, and he's doing this reintegration where he's trying to bring both selves back together. And these people see it happen and they let it happen, like what we're talking about in this community, where they're like, oh, let's just see how far it goes. They let him do that. They bring him back, and he doesn't recognize her when he gets back into the inside, you know, in the work environment. He doesn't recognize her, and they are just they're like over the moon about it. They're like, yes, the threshold has not been broken. Like he doesn't realize that. So I wonder if they were testing on you or letting you do this because they wanted to see how far they could push you to see if they could actually make you forget. I don't know.
Yeah, you gotta
anyway,
test limits.
To what end though, I do want to get back to what I was saying like a while ago. Why would they want us to live in pods and eat the bugs, but not as bad as that, you know, I get it. But why would they want us to be like Ready Player One? Is it, what would they get out of that?
As opposed to just killing us all.
Well, sure, but like, what is there an energy source that we provide? Like, what is it that they want?
Well, I think that we are going to end up powering them. And so like, you know, the stick in the matrix is that we are batteries for the machines, but yeah. You know, body does generate energy, and there's a lot of people out there in like DARPA and IARPA who have learned how to harness that energy, let's put it that way, right? And so problem solutions, we've kind of messed up the planet pretty drastically in a variety of different ways, and so part of what they're going to get away with is like never actually taking accountability for that and just making it look like this great thing that they're going to do, where they start to move us to these dun 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 smart cities, 15 minute cities, so that all of these other areas can kind of go back to nature. And part of us not traveling so much would be so that nature can still be nature. But they also have a lot of technologies that are coming out and will continue to come out that have to do with allowing us to travel, but doing it in different ways. So like the new trains that they're bringing out, which are kind of a copy of something that they've had underground for a long time. Hyperloop, I think, is the Tesla version of what they're calling the one.
Maglev type shit.
Yeah, that kind of stuff, that kind of technology that can go from, you know, what they say, New York to Los Angeles in 45 minutes, like those type of things. And it's just going to be a restructuring, a rebuilding of humanity.
Thanks, Elon. He's digging those tunnels right
now.
So,
like, what arrogance is that, though? That seems so parental. It seems like parents keeping their kids out of the kitchen because they feel like they deserve to cook in peace and it's their kitchen. I pay for this house. I, you know, this is mine. You go play in your room and stay right there. Sit there, watch TV, and stay away from me and stay away from everything because you're just going to fuck it up.
Well, yeah, and they don't even have to, at this point, just real quick, they don't have to trick you or force you into the matrix or the pods. You're going to choose the de facto matrix on your own because they're going to make it look so good, so easy. And what do we see now? People are fucking lazy. They walk around with their fucking phone in their hand, bumping into shit because they'd rather look at TikTok than figure out where they're going when the car is passing. Like, it's going to be easy just from what I see now. And this is probably early stage.
Well, very early still. It's actually happening faster than I thought it would, to be honest, but it's still early. I keep an eye on it so I can see how all the components are kind of out there being talked about at least, but they're not like available that people can go pick up and buy quite yet, but they're getting there. But once that kind of cascade happens, it's going to happen really quickly. And, you know, the phrase in my blog that was meant to be meaningful is they're going to make you want what they want. And so they've sold their ideology to us so that we would go for it. And what's the difference between going into this alternate dimension that is the Matrix or going into this alternate dimension that is 5D? Nothing really, you know, nothing essentially. You might think that there is, but in a way there's not. And they kind of know that a lot of people, you know, are either going to choose it or are eventually just kind of grandfather themselves out, to put that politely, as time moves forward. But the most people, you know, problem, reaction, solution, we got a lot of problems, and the solutions to that is more technology. And in order to have this world where we don't have crime and we don't have disease and we don't have this and we have this, we don't have this, we need to do X, Y, and Z and create this new world that they're going for. And in, for the most part, and this is the, like, 90% of the way, it's all just going to sound great. You know, they're going to do things like cure cancer. They're going to do things like fix spinal cords. They're going to do all sorts of really neat shit, to quote my other podcast, but they're going to do a lot of very good things for the planet, for us. But the, what you said at the beginning of that about them being like parents, that is essentially exactly it. They treat us like children. And I can tell you this because most of my life, I was one of them, and I felt the same way about everybody. Like, when I walked around and saw the average person walking around, you were all useless eaters to me. So this is where I come from when I say this. But that is how they look at us. They feel like we are too irresponsible. We can't make the right decisions. Even given all of the information, we still make shit out of it.
Unfortunately, that's largely true.
And unfortunately, that's largely true. And when I was first getting out, like, I would have fought, I would have been on the side that, you know, probably most people listening to me say that are on, where they're like, no, we're not, no, we're not, no, we're not. But after 10 years as a speaker in this community and trying to just deliver that simple message to not deaf ears, because that's not what I mean to say, but to, like, quite at sometimes like a vocal opposition because it's not ascension and it's not being rescued by aliens and it's not all the stuff that they want to believe it is. I think that they're right. I think that we are too irresponsible right now. I do think that that's partially their fault. However, you know, human nature is human nature as well. And a lot of people just refuse to do the work of looking at themselves. They want to be able to point their fingers at anything besides themselves.
Oh, yeah. It's victim mentality we talk about a lot. But it does seem like, back to the Hegelian dialectic, it seems like they created the problem of us being retarded on purpose so they could come around and be like, look, you guys are too irresponsible. Don't worry, we've got the solution. And meanwhile, it was, you know, they that created the problem in the first place because we just kind of, you know,
you can go back to the analogy of parents. If you never teach your kid to cook or clean or make their bed or have any responsibility, how are they going to learn? They're just going to let you do it for them. And then when you tell them to do it, they're going to do a really bad job. But you have to let them do a bad job, because I promise the first time I did anything in my life, and same goes for everybody listening and everyone in the world, you didn't do it correctly. You didn't do a good job. You have to practice and you have to try and you have to care. But the older you get, and the less malleable your brain is, and the more you're used to things being done for you, the less able you're going to be to do it, you know, when the time comes. So I just feel like even as children, parents not teaching their kids, and this is like reality, this isn't even an analogy anymore, in reality, we have to teach our kids to get up and do things and build things and create and be able to make a fucking sandwich. There are kids who can't do that. They have no clue how to do anything. So I understand, I get what you're saying with they're right. They are now, but it's too late now, because as a society, we're like, you know, 20 years old living in our elite parents' basement, not able to do anything. And I'm not one of those, but you know, whatever. There are people out there who are like that, a vast majority of people. So do you believe in, do you believe in God? Do you believe in a higher power that is watching over all of this?
I mean, not an individual. I think that the universe is kind of a little bit more like I think it's almost like a system in and of itself that was probably created by a group as opposed to an individual. But I mean, I think that what we call God would be the universe itself. I do believe that every planet is also a living entity or a consciousness in and of itself. So we could, and at times have, called that God. It's, you know, very similar to what we would consider of the same thing, but not an individual one, no.
Do you think our consciousness is perpetual? Do you think our consciousness lasts forever no matter what and will always be us as a thing, I guess? It doesn't have to be a person. You might not look like you or whatever, or think or whatever the same way, but you will always exist.
Yeah, yes. One of the bones that I always pick with this community is just the amount of fear that they put into your soul and, like, you know, all the different things. It's the same thing religion has done for thousands of years to control us. The New Age community just did the same thing with different names for things. But, you know, that's, what's a good word for it? Divine, untouchable, you know, it's forever. It's something that exists without the human body.
It's outside of this 3D realm.
Exactly. It's outside of what I even consider the universe. Technically, it's like interfacing with the universe is whatever that soul is, the nucleus of that. And we incarnate into bodies all over the universe and all throughout this system, if you will. And I don't know. The irresponsible thing with humans is the truth is that they just set us up this. It's nature versus nurture. That's what I wanted to get out. The whole debate here is basically the nature versus nurture debate, because if they hadn't nurtured us like they did with me, right? If they would just do what they did with me with everybody, because it wasn't all okay. A lot of bad shit happened to me, but the way that they taught me is effective. And I think that that should be that way, where you learn through play. You do make mistakes. When you make mistakes, someone explains to you how and why you made the mistake and what you could do to improve it, as opposed to the way that we teach kids in schools, which is the complete opposite of all of that. Was built up. They taught me how to make my imagination and my memory better. In school, they taught you how to make your memory extremely rigid and your imagination about that big, and we're only going to ask you to use it when we need you to. Right?
Yeah, and it will be subjective.
I think that's been proven out pretty extensively if you look around, like what we were talking about earlier. Before we get out of here, though, I wanted to. So, you said you do believe in aliens. What is your conception of what aliens are? Are they beings, 3D, I can touch your boobie, like being from Venus, or is it more of an interdimensional idea?
I think that, you know, what we consider interdimensional is entities that are, you know, native to here. Like, that's part of Earth, a whole other discussion. But, you know, there are many other planets out there, and many of those planets have life on them. Where I start to disagree is that they keep coming here all the time and they're, you know, snatching people up out of their beds. And a lot of the stories that we attribute to them, I don't believe are true, but I, you know,
my labs.
Yeah, that is true. They do the My Labs thing, but that's, yeah, I don't believe that they're actually that way. Paul Hellyer, former Secretary of Defense for Canada, was pretty honest when he said they are aware of 4 to 5, but they don't have interaction with them. And so a lot of the stuff we've heard, like they've recovered stuff that would be alien, and some of that is just really, really old, because the biggest secret that they keep from us is just how far back we go. And, you know, what we've accomplished in the past, because that goes into the magic thing that I was talking about, the natural human organic technology abilities that we all possess. The problem is we all possess them and you don't get to control that if everybody's got it. The same concept behind like free energy or something like that. You can't control it if everybody can do it. So we need to convince you that nobody can do it while secretly we teach people how to do it. People that we feel are good to do it. And then in order to make everybody really forget about it, we're going to use the people who can use it, figure out with technology what they're doing, learn how to mimic that with technology, recreate it with technology, and then we'll start selling that technology to people. And then people will further forget that human beings are fucking amazing. And just because aliens exist doesn't mean that they're better than human beings either. And
can you give me an example of what you're talking about in this analogy right now?
Which part of it? Sorry.
So you're saying that people can do certain things that are magical, but there's also technology that we have right now. What is something that people could do naturally that we have that's like a, you know, a device or something?
Telepathy. I'm sure a lot of people are kind of bumping into that themselves these days, like kind of being able to read people's thoughts or having clear communication without words with people. That's, you know, something that we can do. Telekinesis is possible. All of the different stuff you've heard of is possible. Whether or not we can freely do it like in Star Wars is a different question, but it is possible to an extent. And the how and why it's working would allow us to create, you know, various things that are pretty remarkable by today's standards without the use of technology. Like our ability to create sound and use sound to move objects or to heal each other or to heal ourselves, things of that nature. Healing is obviously, you know, one of the first things they wouldn't want us doing because take the industry away. You know, you think about traveling, and then we have the concept in spirituality of bilocation. If you taught everyone how to bilocate, then you'd have no tourist industry, right? Because people
That's
would.
Fair. Do you think though that maybe they started? I like to think that people are good, but I'm going to take this in a different direction. So, I like to think that maybe the first person that was like, okay, I'm a good person and I can do this, but there's a lot of bad people, especially medieval times, things like that. I can't teach people how to biolocate, or there's going to be lots of murders. Like, I think that I should hold this back. And then maybe as a side note, I also can't teach them to heal, because if I teach them to heal, then they might learn to biolocate, and they might learn to kill people with sound, and they might learn to do all this stuff for murder purposes. So I don't want to do that. It does seem like they is using it for the opposite way, where they want to use these things as weapons against us while holding all of the creativity and good things back from us. But I like to think that maybe it came from a good place. Like, ooh, it's kind of like parents even, like, don't play with fire. You're going to burn yourself or your friend, you know, but they don't want you to get hurt.
And like, if you go back far enough, that is what it was like, right? It wasn't until society really started to get like, go through rapid growth. Like, it's really just been the last 200 years that they've been really bad to us. And that's a lot of why it seems really sketchy if you start looking into history prior to 200 years, is because there was a lot of stuff erased from that period of time so that we would think that things were always that way. You've heard of this Tartaria myth. Is completely built onto this. I don't believe in Tartaria. Don't even get me started. But
my gosh, that's my least favorite thing. When you said that there were things, when you're like, I'm not talking bad on you. Sorry, when you had mentioned it earlier in the show, you said when you you know, kind of talk down on something and people took offense to it. That's something I've talked about on the show. I did just say it recently, but it was a couple of years ago when it was just all the rage. And I would just check out mentally. I was like, I can tell this is bullshit. Like, I'm sorry. I love the idea. It's cute. Like, it's an interesting story, but I just can't. I can't personally. And if it turns out to be true, I'm more than willing to say, you know what? I was wrong. Tartario was real. It doesn't sound believable to me. It sounds like a snatch and grab where people were like, ooh, I'm going to get people on board with this. So I can't say it. Sorry.
I could rant on a whole other podcast about that. I do a pretty good bit on it in Fear and Hopium if you want to check that out.
Oh, hell but, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that is an example, though, of them burying truth under something that is just quite obviously a big, sexy story that is bullshit. Because there was more activity in North America in history that we don't have any type of documentation for left. We don't have any, you know, proper storytellers even left. We don't have the history of it anymore. And that gets buried under something like Tartaria. That's a perfect example of how they use the conspiracy theory to, you know, make us chase a rabbit we would never catch because it doesn't.
And they're more than happy to do that as long as we don't figure out what actually happened, because they're like, oh, let them run with this. That's fine. And yeah, don't tell them the real story, because it's probably a lot more ugly than they want to believe it is. It's, you know, this golden age of Tartaria. And I think people have different ideas of what Tartaria even was, or their idea of what it was, you know. But it's I just classify it under history as bullshit for the most part. Like, most of it is a lot
especially
of bullshit
back
so
before 200 years. Like, it's been very carefully edited, everything from 200 years back. So
oh yeah,
easy to do. So really quick, I do want to ask, do you think there is, as the hopeful person I am, is there some sort of olive branch that we could ever give to these higher ups to say, hey, here's me, here's what I'm willing to do, and I don't want to take over the world at all. I think all of these things that you're talking about that we could potentially have could make for an amazing society. And I think we could, you know, rebuild the earth, or, you know, repair all of the damage we've done if they have the technology that they have. And not even the technology, if we possess that technology internally, we could do it all on our own and build up this earth and make it a great place. Do you think there's anything we could extend to them to say, like, hey, I think we're ready? Or do you think that's just way down the line and
your
humanity's
soul
not ready for it yet?
Your soul and the soul of your firstborn child.
Oh God, no, the tears of children.
Not really at this point. Like, I think that the ball's kind of in motion to set us towards this, you know, the WEF themselves are calling it the Great Reset, so I guess we can call it that, like a reset of society that is built on all of these new technology pathways. And my hope is that, like I said, most of it is going to be good for us, that we're going to solve a lot of problems, like a lot. My hope is that that's when true human nature actually does finally kick in. And that once everything is solved for us, and I know that this is part of their plan or what they like to tell us, but they don't believe that we would actually do it. But if we actually did have the free time to go back within and start learning what it was like to be human and start being okay with being human while all of this stuff was taking care of our 9-to-5 and, you know, the monotony stuff, that we could learn a lot about ourselves through that pathway. And I think one way or another, that's what's going to end up happening with humanity. I just don't think it's going to happen in my lifetime. Let's put it that way.
Gotcha. Do you believe in reincarnation at all? Do you think you'll see it again in another life?
I don't. I don't think I'll come back here. Probably eventually. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. I will.
But not anytime soon. I'm definitely, you know, going to avoid this place for a while.
I think this is my incarnation on this earth as well. I think some people come back here sometimes for whatever torturous purpose. But
they absolutely do.
What kind of parents do you think we have, analogy-wise? Do you think they are the type? Because I know for sure when I was younger and my daughter would do something that was like really great and I had been like, no. Back in the day, okay, she's older now. But I was just so like gung-ho on being correct that I would almost like not even accept it. Now I'm different and older and I'm a better person. But do you think our parents, the elites, have evolved to a point where if we as humanity came around and said, no, we will do that. You just said you don't, they don't believe, or you think they don't believe that we will do the right thing. If we were to do the right thing, do you think they would be accepting of it?
I like to think so. Yes. I think that, especially because things change generation to generation. Right. And a big part of their problem is just that, that if you go back 200 years, people knew how to run these structures. But today there's really nobody alive who would really know how to run these structures properly. They are just as dependent on things. So kind of like the Genghis Khan story where, like, you know, by his third grandchild, he lost everything. Right. I think that we're about to see something very similar, that the umbrella corporation may be kind of strong right now because they're going to roll it all out. So they're going to have strengthen this generation. The next generation is going to be sitting on some nice laurels. And then that third one's going to come in with no motivation to maintain that system. And then it'll start to fall apart. And I think that when it falls apart that time, because you can't put Pandora back in the box, that's going to just come back to us. And we'll have something similar to what you're saying. So
the meek will inherit the earth.
Yeah. I mean, it's my own hopium that we will figure it out through the technology still, but, you know, we're going to have to live through watching it create itself is, you know.
Yeah, that's a perfect way to end it, because I was actually between the show I was listening to with you and Danny, and I can't remember the other show I was listening to, but it made me realize, I'm like, it could be an aggregation of my Christian upbringing, but I think, even though it seems really shitty at times, I don't think they are going to win in the end. I don't think that it's even possible. Like, call it, you know, the movie trope or whatever, where good always triumphs. I think in the end, whatever the end is, it could be the new beginning. I don't think that whatever the nefarious ideas are going to end up winning. Kind of like you said, where it kind of goes back, like the third generation, all of a sudden it kind of tilts the other way. And maybe it is just a cycle. Maybe evil does win.
It's like a pendulum swing, or like positive and negative charge of a battery. The negative's going to sway towards the positive, and the positive's going to sway towards the negative, and it's going to go back. It just depends on where you are in that cycle.
And that goes back to the Kali Yuga cycles, and that's a whole other show too. And I kind of want to get you back on and kind of go more into your experiences of being a human guinea pig, because I want to hear more about that shit. But anything else, any words of wisdom before we close out tonight, Shane?
Well, just on what you said there, one of the phrases that I say a lot is that, like, love is and evil is a choice, and that choice has to be there. Otherwise, we don't have free will. And so I do think that eventually we will, and we always will, figure it out. And I think that even like the, I don't like saying these things because it sounds like I'm an apologist for the people in charge, but I'm not. But I don't think that they hate you nearly as much as you think that they do. I think that they legitimately believe what their ideology is that you need them. And, you know, most
that might be more dangerous.
In my opinion. Exactly, that they have convinced themselves. And I know this because I was convinced of that too. That they are convinced that they're doing the right thing, that we need them to do this. And to be honest, we need something, right? But we need something because of what they did 200 years prior to that, just set everything into motion for them. That's a circular debate. However, I think humans are good. I think that, you know, the souls that come here are always perfect, and it doesn't matter what happens to them here, they're still going to be perfect. And just because of that dynamic alone, you know, it's never going to be as bad as we expect it to be. And that's a good thing, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, and to, you know, balance that, it's also never as good as you hope it'll be, but we can find solace in the middle, like we do everywhere else. It's always moderation.
Good is always as good as it's going to be.
Great minds think alike, and fools seldom differ.
Well, dude, thank you so much. What a great talk. I love this.
Yeah, this is awesome.
I knew
thank
as soon
you.
As I heard your interview with Danny that I was like, we're going to get along with this guy so well. It's going to be awesome. Thank you again, PK, in the Telegram for reaching out and telling me to get this guy on. And we'll definitely be, you know, having more talks with you. And send me your links or anything else you want to be included in the show notes, and we'll make sure to get those in there. And until next time, people, be positive and, you know, piss and love and everything else. It's going to be okay. And if anything, you can reincarnate and come back here and try again. I don't recommend it, but if you are so inclined, go ahead. All right, everybody, have a good night. Shane, we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to Legit Pet. Please address all content grievances to gofuckyourself@yourmom.com. See you next week.
Location, the lab. Quentin only has 24 hours to sell his car. Is that even possible? He goes to Carvana.com.
What is this, a movie trailer?
He ignores the doubters, enters his license plate. Wow, that's a great offer. The car is sold, but will Carvana pick it up in time for...
They'll literally pick it up tomorrow morning. Done with the dramatics?
Car selling in record time.
Save your time. Go to Carvana.com and sell your car today. Pickup fees may apply.